Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Welcome everyone to Rebels Remembered. I am Kelsey.
I am Caitlin.
And we are recapping episode 11, Idiot's Array, from Star Wars Rebels. And this is still season 1, episode 11. Originally aired on January 19th, 2015. And this was after the hiatus of Path of the Jedi.
Yep.
And the synopsis states, the wrong gamble forces the crew into transporting some unusual cargo. It was written by Kevin Hopps, who we previously seen for the episode of Fire Flight, and it was directed by Stuart Lee.
Alrighty, so this, going off what you said about Path of the Jedi, this episode, to try to set up what we're going to go into before we go into it, is more lighthearted, more, not as heavy in terms of conflict.
Yes, and I think it's sort of needed after, so what was it, Path of the Jedi, Gathering Forces,
Empire Day,
three very emotionally heavy episodes, so I guess it makes sense to break it up and have this nice little adventure with the ghost crew.
Alrighty, so the episode starts inside Ojo's on Lothal, and Zeb is playing a game of Sabacc, and in Star Wars, Sabacc is a card game, with a mysterious patron, so we don't see his face. I don't even think he speaks. If he speaks, we don't know who it is. And he's doing this because he's short on credits. And I think before this episode starts, even Kanan's going to Ojo like, hey, we need a job because we're low on credits. He's like, sorry. But I think Zeb's figured something out, and he, like, figures out, Kanan figures, goes over there and figures out he's playing cards with this guy to try and get credits. And of course, he feels so confident in his abilities, his hand of cards, that he bets Chopper. Which, I mean, I'm not trying to play devil's advocate here, but I can kind of see why Zeb would do that.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you're playing in, I mean, I guess Ojo's is a bar, or, you know, you don't know what kind of people you're dealing
true.
With. You don't know if you're dealing with a card shark, you don't know, you know, so.
And Kanan is against it. And Zeb's like, no, I got this. He shows him his hand. And Kanan's like, oh, yeah, that looks pretty
good. Peer pressure.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I agree with that. And he thinks he's going to win the credits. And the mysterious patron says not so fast. And he shows him his cards. And he has an idiot's array. Now, I've only played Sabacc once, so I couldn't exactly tell you what cards they are. But obviously, that hand beats Zeb. So now, Chopper belongs to this guy that won. And it's revealed to be no other than Lando Calrissian.
Also, I believe Billy Dee Williams voices him in this episode. But before we move on, when you first watched this, did you know who Lando Calrissian was? Had you been involved enough? Okay.
Now, when he started talking, I kind of knew. Because I think, I want to say it was mentioned in the before. It wasn't as big of a surprise because I want to say in the commercials for it, he was in them.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. I mean, I knew who Lando was when I watched it, but I didn't know he was going to be in the episode until the very beginning.
So I was super excited when he showed up. but yeah, like it wasn't as big. I kind of wish they had done that not. But how else would you talk about the episode without mentioning him?
Like promote it without mentioning it.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
So they go back to the ghost. And what I love about this whole episode is Hera.
Yeah.
Because Hera and Chopper have a very close relationship. To her, he is a member of the crew. He is so important to the crew. He plays his role. But to everybody else, he's kind of just a nuisance.
Yeah.
It's like your pet cat. No, he is perfect. He can do no wrong. He means something.
Well, wasn't it Dave Filoni that actually compared... Was him that compared him to
a cat? Yeah, Dave Filoni said R2-D2 is a dog. Chopper's a cat. Because the dog is loyal and obedient and will listen to you. Chopper does none of those things. Unless it's Hera. Because they have I don't know their backstory like I should, but I feel like they, out of all the ghost crew members, they are the closest to one another. So they return to the ghost, and it's funny because Kane is like, we had this job for Orlando to move
some cargo through a blockade, but they're needing the ghost to mask its signal so they can get through the blockade. But I love this scene because they're trying to dance around the fact that they just bet Chopper. Your droid! There is no... they told me that I would get your droid, and of course she's like, what?
She's very upset, rightfully so. But I think Lando says that if he can get him through, he'll give Chopper back to them.
And pay them.
He said
he'll pay them.
Which they need. This whole episode is about we need money to eat. So during this, I think what's interesting about this when it goes into the cockpit or whatever, you have Kanan and Hera sitting there. Of course, they're not talking to one another because she's still very angry that he bit Chopper. And I love how Lando is just nonchalantly sitting in the back, like...
Like, what drama did I just cause? But on the other hand, I'm intrigued, so I'm just gonna sit back and, you know, watch the whatever happens.
Then he asked Chopper to give him a tour of the ship. Oh, yeah, and then before that, he's talking about, oh, you're such a good pilot, Hera. You have a great takeoff. Because anybody that knows Lando is he's a smooth talker.
Very charismatic.
Very charismatic and a little bit of a womanizer, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, in the original trilogy, he's very flirty with Leia.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of Han Solo. So he has that about him.
Mm-hmm.
So Kanan at this point, okay, I already lost my droid to you, and now you're kind of worming your way into the crew, which they're a very tight-knit bunch. So, like, it's almost like, who's this guy?
Yeah, who are you?
Type attitude. So he asked Chopper to give him a tour of the ship. And then, you know, it has this moment where Zeb is still like, I don't trust him.
Because he made him look like a fool.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with, we don't know this guy. I think more about Zeb. It's like a pride thing. Like, you made me look like an idiot for betting what I thought was a good hand, and I lost.
Mm-hmm. And Ezra's like, oh, no, I think he's all right, you know. And then he starts, like, kind of being flirty with Sabine, like, oh, I love your art. It's like inspired by
graffiti artist on some planet.
Yeah. And then after that moment, that's when Ezra's like, oh no, I don't like this guy. Because in this season, Ezra still is kind of
crushing on Sabine
a little bit. He always wants to look
cool,
cool and suave. And the bad thing about it is, like, he's like, hey, I told you your stuff was good months ago. And Lando's like, or she's like, yeah, but you didn't know why. And Lando's like, oh, don't mind him. He's just a kid. You don't know nothing. And to me, that's like one of the big, for Ezra, that's a big insult. You know, I feel like that's also a pride thing, I feel.
Yeah.
So Zeb doesn't like him. Kanan doesn't like him. Hera does not like him. It's almost like the best way I describe this episode would be, you're having a family reunion and the one, like, uncle that nobody likes.
crashes the party.
Yeah, crashes the party. And it's like, okay, you need to go. We were doing perfectly fine without you. We don't really need you at the moment. Or ever.
I do wonder, though, there's a part where, what is it? They want Chopper to mask the signal of the ghost so they can get through the blockade or something. I can't remember what it is, but Hera says something like he basically backtalks Kanan, like, no, I'm not doing that because you don't own me anymore. He's waiting on orders from Lando. And I feel like a lot of this episode has to deal with appreciating Chopper.
Yeah, it does.
It's like, oh, like, we rely on you for quite a bit. We just bet you. Oops.
Yeah, I feel like that episode does that too, because, I mean, what the audience has seen of Chopper has not been very nice.
Pleasant.
So I feel like this episode's like, hey, we really should probably do an episode about Chopper and how he is an integral part of the crew, because that's kind of how I was, my relationship with him when I first started watching the show was, I don't like you, to by the end of the series, like, oh, I like you, you're charming in a kind of a way, you know.
It's a necessary evil.
I know on Tumblr people were calling him Murderbot.
Yeah,
for a long time.
I forgot
time.
About that, Murderbot.
Yeah, hashtag Murderbot.
So you can be annoying, but you do get stuff done, so.
Again, about droids' rights. We could go to a whole discussion.
Yeah, we could.
So first they dock with this ship called the Merchant One, and to get some cargo of Lando's.
They haven't been told what it is.
They have no idea. They don't even know where they're going to. You know, I can't remember if Lando tells them who they're about to run into. Or...
I don't know if it's, maybe it's not shown on screen, but I know Hera does ask, who are we seeing and what cargo are we getting? And he said, I was told that there would be no questions. She's like, well, then it's extra if there's no questions. Yes. So.
And they dock with the ship and they run into this crime boss as Morgan, who basically is a Jabba.
Yeah.
The HUD character.
Yeah.
He's lazy, he has other people do his work for him, and he is after Lando. So just kind of like Jabba was after Han. But as they're walking, he's like, just whatever I say, go with it. And of course, Kanan's in the back going,
Plus, like, as a viewer, if you know Lando, you're like, oh, crap. Like, what's he planning?
This is the guy that basically, I know I'm going to get hate for this. This is the guy that, I'm going to be honest, turned in Han and Leia. I mean... and that's what I think is funny about, I think Billy Dee mentioned it in an interview, was like, he's not a bad guy. He's just, for him, it's business. You know, he's a smuggler. He's a, you know, a scoundrel type character.
Yeah.
He's in it for himself, you know? So he tells Hera to just go along with it. And he says, by the way, I didn't catch this. He says, by the way, if something goes wrong, there's escape pods. He's like, that's reassuring. He doesn't tell her to take one. He just says there
mentioned
are some.
Mentioned it in passing, yeah.
So they run into Asmorgan, who is a disgusting pile of fattiness. I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, isn't he based on an old...
Yeah, he was based on Ralph McQuarrie's, one of his designs for Jabba.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
And Lando's gonna make a deal for his cargo, and he offers up Hera. And to me, this was almost a callback to Jabba in a way, because he has a lot of... And I'm gonna have to look this up. He had a lot of Twi'lek slaves.
I want to say there's a history of particular Twi'leks being used in slavery.
That's what I was thinking.
Particularly female Twi'leks. So that, I feel like it was calling back to that, but also kind of the Leia thing, just without the bikini part.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of calling back to that.
So now he's offered up Hera, and they leave her, and Kanan doesn't want to. He's like, what? She's like, just go. It's like...
Just play along. She's just playing along, I think.
And so they go back to the ghost, and what I love about it is Lando's like, well, she'll follow the plan. And Kanan's like, there's no plan. When did you know? He's like, well, I told her there's she'll just get an escape pod. I told her to use one. Like, the way he said, I'm like, you didn't tell her anything. You just mentioned them in passing.
He implied it, which is, I guess, to him, the same thing as saying
I guess
something.
So. Yeah, it says, Kanan doesn't remember hearing anything about escape pod, but the smuggler is confident. And I actually missed it until we rewatched it, and I was like, oh, he did mention it. He wasn't lying. So we go back to Asmorgan, and he's eating. It's gross and nasty.
If you want to call it eating, I call it devouring.
I guess.
That fruit or whatever it was.
It looked like a spiky looking fruit ball. Yeah. I don't know what that was. And Hera's like, well, maybe I should serve you. Like, trying to play along, you know. And tells other people to leave or whatever. And uses the tray to hit him over the head with it.
Mm-hmm. Knocks him unconscious.
Then she goes through and it's like, oh, I love how Vanessa delivered this. Vanessa Marshall voiced Hera delivered. He wants to require some alone time. So I'll get ready in my quarters or whatever. She's like, the way she says it is like.
Just very docile, but also a little bit sensual. Like just playing along, playing the part.
And then when she's following the guard, she whacks him. Then that was a good use of a tray. Like her demeanor just changes.
Yeah.
So she makes her way to an escape pod after using the tray, which I feel like for a while that line, I kept seeing it on Twitter for a while.
What? That was a good use of a really good use of a tray
or whatever. Yeah. And I've always wondered, like, the voice cast, they go to conventions and things like that. What is a line you get asked to say a lot? I wonder if she gets asked to say that line that comes to mind.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
So she gets back to the ghost. She thanks Lando for the ordeal with a swift punch to the gut, which he deserves. Multiple times, I feel, in this episode. But he still needs, so he always got the cargo, but he still needs to get it past the Imperial blockade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, before this, they brought the cargo down. I don't know if ship.
I call it a cargo hold.
Cargo hold, I guess. Yeah. And he's like, okay, don't open it and don't whatever you do, don't touch it or anything like that. And of course, he leaves it with Zeb and Ezra.
And Zeb and Ezra just be Zeb and Ezra. Like, they're not going to leave it alone. They're going to be dumb and like,
was it?
Well, it's not really Ezra at this point. It's Zeb that opens it up, right?
Yeah, he's like, Lando told us not to open it or anything.
Oh, yeah, then he's just like, well, Lando's not
he's
here.
Like, well, yeah, he did. He's not here. I feel like that was more of Zeb. He's tired of Lando.
Mm-hmm.
Like, watch, I'm not listening to him. Like, but also, I feel like it's kind of like, you know, if they listen, where's the comedy?
That's true. That's true.
He does open the crate and out emerges this little fat-looking creature. I think he's adorable.
I thought he was adorable. It looks like a little space pig. And like when it comes out, I don't know what the gender of the pig is. When it comes out and, well, does he call it a she?
Yeah,
When she comes out of the little crate and she's like walking, like you can hear the oinking noise like a pig makes.
To me, it almost was like an anteater too.
Yeah, it's like crossed with an anteater and a pig.
And what I love about it was when it opens, you have this Kevin Connor music that's playing. And it's like this, it's so cute. I don't know. So it comes out, and as soon as it looks Zeb in the face, it freaks out and runs away from it, and then they're just
chasing it around the ship, which I'm sure did a lot for Zeb's confidence. something to look at you in the face and start running away from you.
Yeah. And at this point, Kanan is the one flying the ghost because they just got Hera back on board. So he's in the cockpit, can fly the ghost. And mm-hmm. what I love is as they're chasing this pig, it's probably one of my favorite moments is they run up and they go past Kanan. He kind of turns around like, what is going on? And Ezra kind of smiles at him nervously. And then Zeb kind of shrugs his shoulders and they just proceed to chase this pig.
And then you also see as they're chasing them that, you know, Hera kind of is looking, you know, as they run down the hall of the ship or whatever. And then you see in the background, you see Sabine trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
She's like, stifles a laugh, which I thought was like interesting in the animation of that.
The little interactions with this little pig, to me, makes the episode. So now the pig is loose. And they're getting ready to get past the blockade, but they need Chopper to master their signature or whatever. To bring the ghost signature modulator back online. So I guess it is offline at the moment.
Yeah, because they said it's offline. I'm like, what? What happened? Yeah, you can't. Her line is, you know, you have to get Chopper to, you have to ask Chopper to fix it. Like, well, what happened to it? Or was it just broke?
I don't know. I don't know what happened there. Or maybe that's just his job. Maybe. I don't know.
Do repairs on the ship. Maybe. He's the little, when you play Battlefront 2, he's the little droid fix button on your ship.
Yeah, repair button.
Repair button.
I'm trying to think in my head. And sex, we just watched
it. Well, I mean, it's like, they're trying to catch this pig. Lando asks Chopper to fix the modulator. But before that happens, Zeb scares the pig by catching it. And he's yelling. Okay, yeah. And then it just blows up, like, not explodes, but expands like a puffer fish. It's called a puffer pig. So now that the entire part of that ship is blocked, so Hera can't get to the other side of the ship to pilot it, Kanan's stuck on the other side of the pig trying to find the ship.
I think that's when they have a discussion where Hera's like, well, if you have mining equipment that's illegal, but I think he does start to mention that the pig is going to be used for mining. And he says, well, in their scanners, they only detect tools, machinery, and machinery. And then he's like, the puffer pig's a creature, so it can't.
It'll probably read as like, oh, there's another life form on the ship. But I thought it was also interesting that he mentions he's tried this before with equipment.
Oh, interesting.
That's probably why he decided to do the puffer pig thing. But then I'm like, how did you not get caught, dude? Because you just escaped that quick or something.
Yes. So Chopper fixes the modulator, but Ezra overhears Lando kind of flirting with Sabine a little bit, and he decides to
climb over the pig.
Why did he just stay put? And as he's climbing on top of it, the puffer pig gets freaked out again, and I love how Zeb's like, hey, like trying to warn him, and it blows up even more. And
knocks everybody backward on both sides.
Knocks Zeb into the controls of the signal modulator and knocks it back offline. So now the Empire knows, I think it masked him as like some other ship or something. They said a name. I don't even remember at this moment.
Yeah. I always think that's so weird that you can just mask your signal. Like, y'all can't look out your spaceport and go, hey, that's not a Imperial ship. That's a, you know. Because I also think at this point, they said, this is where you start to see the Empire becoming familiar with that ship.
Oh, yeah.
Because one of the Imperial officers who's scanning the ship before it goes offline says, well, this looks very familiar, like the Rebel ship that we were interested in.
Yeah, and they're still flying around with Thal, so.
Yeah, they're kind of starting to be aware of that ship's presence, and so I think it's just kind of odd that they can just, oh, never mind, the reading says it's this ship. Yeah. Which I think is just a matter of incompetence to move the plot along.
Also, again, not trying to knock the Empire again, but also I think we talked about this before, about they don't really pay attention to the big details. Like, they just pay attention to the numbers. Sometimes when you do that, it's kind of like,
you miss things.
Yeah. That's why I think they're so easily infiltrated, because when everybody looks the same, you quickly start to stop looking at faces. So there's that, too. So I feel like they're, I don't know.
That makes sense. So now that the Zeb knocked the thing that's disguising the signal offline, now they know, oh, this is that ship. You know, let's send a bunch of ties after it, which the line that Kanan says, like, I really use Hera on this side of the pig now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny that she's like, cloud cover, and tells him to go find some clouds to kind of hide in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good idea. And he's like, you know, trying to get away from the ties or whatever. And I love how Zeb says, or I think it's Zeb that says, normally when ties are shooting at us, Hera shoots back. He's just trying to maneuver the ship at this point. But yeah, I think it's funny that Hera's the one that told him, because he's not a pilot.
Yeah. Plus it allows him to double back and turn back around and fire at them without them seeing.
Mm-hmm. So they get rid of the ties. And I think Kanan says that line, your job's a lot harder than it looks, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I think that's when Lando says, oh, I finally appreciate you. Like, just being again, like, trying to... I think Hera just calls it divide and conquer.
Yeah.
But I think it's just him being...
Lando.
Him, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any other motive for that than what he's telling them than just... That's just his personality. And I love how they have the interaction... He has an interaction with Hera, same when he's telling her, like, oh, he finally appreciates you. And she said, enough of the divide and conquer. And then she says this line, like, what you want depends on my crew working in sync. And I think we talked just on this before, how everybody thinks that Kanan is the one in charge. It's actually Hera.
Yeah.
It's her ship. It's her crew. She's the pilot. She calls the shots. I think a lot of people forget that.
She's their larger connection to Fulcrum and mm-hmm. and all of the sources, the intel. I mean, I do think that the crew does have some autonomy. Like, I have some intel. Let's follow it up and see, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like, it's not as authoritative as the Empire.
Well, no, but she is the leader.
She does command the crew and everything, which is why I think it's so funny that part of me does believe that Kanan is second in command of that ship, because in the timeline of how each member joined, Kanan was the, besides Chopper, Kanan was the next member of the crew to mm-hmm. join up with Hera. So it was just them two and Chopper. And which is so funny why when she's like, gets on to Zeb for basically betting Chopper, he's like, well, Kanan says it was fine, which kind of undermines, like, that's her droid for one.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
because he said it was okay does not mean it's okay.
I forgot that, yeah, at the beginning of the episode, she says, Chopper is not yours to bet. You shouldn't even made that decision.
Because I think it's more than about just making a decision without her consent. It's, that's not yours. You know yeah. what I'm saying? It'd be like, I want a pet, and you just decide to sell it.
Yeah.
Without telling me.
Exactly. And to her, he's family. Chopper's yeah. more than just a droid. But, I mean, I can see why the other members don't see it that way, because the way he behaves sometimes.
Aww.
So they get back to Lando's... Is it like a farm or something? Not a farm, but like... Property.
It's property near the mines that he's wanting to use the puffer pig to snuff out the minerals, the precious minerals and things like that. But my question is it still on Lothal?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
And if he says he bought it from Visago.
Who he saw.
Another person we don't like.
Yeah. Another smuggler.
Yeah, he said it. He also says the pig can't be detected by the Empire, which outlaws mining.
Well, they don't outlaw it. They don't allow private owners to own land.
Right.
It's not just the mining thing. It's like, you can't be an individual that owns property. Like, it has to be someone that's either working with, can sync with the Empire, or the Empire itself that's controlling certain lands, because they're wanting, the Empire will want those resources.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want anyone else using them.
And right when Lando is about to pay them for their troubles, all this trouble, Chopper being bought or bet, Hera being sold into slavery, basically.
Being chased by ties.
Yeah, all this trouble they've gone through as Morgan appears. And he wants the pig, he wants Hera, he wants the crew, and he wants to kill Lando. And I love how
Ezra and Kane are like, okay.
Sure. We don't care. And I think it's interesting that Hera says no, and she kind of pushes him back. I'm like, why are you trying to, I mean, dang, I would be like, here you go, have him.
Maybe they were waiting on getting paid.
That might be it. Like, okay, yeah, if you kill him, we can't get paid. So then they kind of get into a firefight with Asmorgan and his henchmen and the mm-hmm. ghost crew. And during this whole thing, Chopper starts stealing Lando's fuel that they also need. They need credits and they need fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And during this firefight, so that while Chopper's stealing the fuel, it's revealed, we get to see Ezra's lightsaber. It's actually also a blaster, so that's revealed.
And has that ever been done before in Star Wars lore?
Not that I'm aware of.
Maybe in the books, maybe, or no?
Not that I know of. Oh yeah, during this firefight, Hera tells Zeb to scare the puffer pig again, which he does, and it knocks over some men, and what I love is
Sabine
uses it to jump up on top of the little building there to point her blasters.
Did you think of Shrek, the frog with the snake balloons?
Yes.
I did. But it starts kind of floating a little bit. I'm like,
yeah, it kind of looks like a balloon.
La 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 la.
Someone take that and put that music on. So Chopper does get some fuel on the ghost, but then also he gets to one of the gun ports of the ghost. As Morgan somehow or another sneaks up behind Zeb and holds a blaster.
Yeah, I didn't understand that because dude weighs a ton. You would hear him coming, I would assume.
Yeah. Like, how did he not see him?
But I mean, there's a lot going on, being fired upon and all that, so.
And then I love how when he's pointing the gun in Zeb's back, you see Zeb kind of have his hands
up. He rolls his eyes.
He's like, really? I'm going to go out by this guy? But Chopper's in the gun port and he blasts in front of him so that Zeb can get the upper hand of Asmorgan. And that's when Hera says, you and your men leave now and we let you live. I'm like, dang.
Well, we also have to remember, Kanan blew up Q Ties with the ghosts. True. There were people on those that aren't here anymore.
So they naturally agree. Chopper kind of saved the day a little bit here at the end by saving Zeb and saving...
And the fuel. He got the fuel from Lando's property and put it on the ghost. Which, by himself, poor thing, he was kind of struggling with getting up the ramp while all that was going on. And not being killed, because if you shoot at that...
It blows up. And I love how when he first gets behind it, Sibby's like, Chopper, don't hide there. That's the fuel canister, dummy. I was like, and then it's like, he kind of beeps at her, and you're like, oh, okay, he's gonna steal it.
Okay.
So they agree, and they leave. And what sucks is, Hera says, you don't have the credits to pay us, you never did.
And so he agrees, well, yeah, I'll just give your droid back. Is that what you owe me? All of this, and yay, we get Chopper back.
Yeah, it's like all this. Which kind of
Kanan says is like, I'm trying to be positive, but.
He's like, so that's it? We're leaving without any money after all that? And she's like, well, we got Chopper back. And he's like, I mean.
But they kind of also have a nice moment where she's like, you should be appreciative of him more because he does do a lot for the ship, you know? And I do think that it just makes you more appreciative of Chopper in general. But also, the plus, they did get fuel.
Yeah.
So that's a plus.
And love how at the end, Zeb says, so Chopper was playing Lando the whole time. Because Chopper, in this episode, when he becomes subservient to Lando, he almost is, like, nice to him.
It's like a complete 180 of his normal behavior.
And then, when he's like,
because okay, normally, I mean, while him and Hera have a good relationship, there are times I feel like if she's like, hey, Chopper, can you do this? Like, he won't do it without complaining a little bit.
Yeah.
But Lando is like, sure, yes, sir. I'll do whatever you ask.
It's and
like
then
complete 180.
At the end, when he gives him back, Chopper, like, takes his little arm and shoves him away. Like, okay, I'm done with you now. I played my part. I got your fuel. I'm done. Which I didn't really think about that. Once the ghost takes off, Lando confides to the puffer pig that he knew they took the fuel. That's why he didn't pay them. A gambler never shows his cards. So, wait. That's what made me mad. I was like, wait, you do have money. But since you knew they took the fuel...
He thought that was compensation enough. I don't know, though. I would have took some credits for that. That was a lot.
It was a lot. It's almost like, this was a lot for nothing. I feel like Kanan there.
Yeah. But Chopper gets to be the hero in the end. He saves Zeb. Steals the fuel.
Yeah, I guess. Hashtag Murderbot still. I'm sorry. Murderbot. I love him. Don't get me wrong. I got to where I loved him, but... Some of these early episodes, and even in the other ones, he's so snarky.
Any trivia on this besides the Ralph McQuarrie design?
So Sabacc, the game first appeared in the script Empire Strikes Back, but any mention of it was cut from the film.
Oh,
A trilogy of Lando Calrissian novels that were published in 93 explained how the card game worked. So it was actually supposed to be mentioned in Empire Strikes Back, but it was all cut out.
So in 1989, there was also a playable set of cards included in a game called Crisis on Cloud City.
Yeah, and it wasn't technically Sabacc, but it was a card game kind of similar.
Oh, kind of similar. So my question is, and I guess I've only played Sabacc once. Our friend bought the card game at Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the rules are the same as they were in the 93 book.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. Or did they use the 93 book to make the game? Might be something to research.
Yeah. And plus the way the cards looked in this episode, were they pulling from that?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's probably what happened. I don't have a confirmation on that, but it's probably...
What would you grade this episode?
I would say a 5 or 6.
I give it a 5.
5.
I wrote that some might call this an intermission episode. Honestly, when it first aired, it wasn't one of my favorites. I did love that Lando was in it because we're actually introducing...
Characters from the original trilogy.
So that was a plus. But other than that, it kind of goes in circles a lot.
Yeah. My one complaint about it is just the pacing. It's like, well, we gotta pick up Lando. Now we gotta go pick up the cargo. But Hera's here, so we gotta get her. Mm-hmm. We got her back. Okay, now let's go through the blockade. We're chasing this pig. And there's a lot going on. But at the same time, it's kind of like it should be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's kind of a little bit tiring because it's like, gosh, like when is this going to end? Because it's kind of constant.
Maybe it was that way to make you tired of Lando as the viewer.
That's possible.
Maybe. So sorry, I don't mean to backtrack, but going back to Sabacc, I have to mention this because it will probably never happen again, was the one time we played Sabacc, Kelsey.
Yeah, that's right.
Had a perfect hand.
Yeah, because I think the game that we played, I don't know if it's the same as the 93 book, you have to get the closest to zero that you can. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
From what's in your hand. I had a perfect zero.
The whole game?
The entire game.
So she never discarded. Mm-mm. She never drew. She just kept...
I kept standing every round, turn. Every turn.
And
that will never happen again.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, that will never... Like, perfect hand.
It can't happen at a casino. No, it has to happen in just a random Saturday night playing Sabacc at a table. I wasn't betting anything.
We'll have to play it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are different moves in there. Idiot's Array is one of them.
I can't remember what that looks like or what. Like I said, I only played it once.
Mm-hmm.
What is your favorite moments in this episode?
I think I already mentioned it, but when the puffer pig escapes.
Yeah.
And it blows up in the ship. The little things with the interaction with the ghost and the constant sarcastic remarks from Kanan.
Ezra. I literally wrote Kanan's sarcasm to this episode.
Yeah.
It's just really funny. And also having Hera be some cool moments, you know, beating up two dudes with a tray.
Yeah, that was a cool moment too, showing the powerful pilot that she is. I should say powerful character, but I like alliteration, so I said powerful pilot. Anything else about this episode?
I can't think of anything.
I got nothing.
So we're just gonna end it with Sabacc. We got nothing.
We got 00. Alrighty guys, thanks for listening to Rebels Remembered. You can follow us on YouTube or X, and we will see you next time.